This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone. We apologize, weren't able to get an episode out late last week, so we've got a lot to get into, so we'll get right into it on the front page. We'll start things off. Last week, Illinois hosted a ranked number 10 Michigan State team. Illinois was ranked number 24 at the time, and it ended up being an absolute battle. They went in up 14 at the half, end up winning by just 1 point, 56-55. Malik Hall missed a free throw with 0.2 seconds left, and it allowed Illinois to escape with the win. But in that game, Trent Frazier was phenomenal, led the way with 16 points, 5 assists, and 3 rebounds. Alfonso Plummer was the only other player in double figures with 11. Luke Goody was great, made 3 threes. Verdonk and Omar Payne picked up the slack. But Illinois was without Kofi Coburn in that game due to his concussion. Illinois was without Andre Curbelo due to health and safety protocols, and they beat the number 10 team in the country. It was just a gritty win. Brad Underwood after the game called it a culture win, and boy, was that exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, a great atmosphere. Shout out to Illinois fans.
Yeah, Orange
go
Crush.
To those games, because Orange Crush did a great job in that game. They were loud, disruptive, and whenever you face a ranked opponent at home, like, that's what you need to do, right? And in the Big Ten in general, it's hard to win away in the Big Ten, so you got to protect the home.
That's what Matt Painter, coach of Purdue, came in and said after that game. He said Coach K's philosophy, and he's the best coach of all time, arguably, his philosophy: win every game at home in conference, split on the road, and you should be near the top of your conference every year.
And when you look, I mean, you say that, and when you look at Brad Underwood's records, that's what they've done. They've protected home court very well.
And they've went on the road exceptionally well.
They do. So great job there. I would chalk this one up to Trent Frazier. Defense was great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Max Christie did nothing.
Shut him down. Two points. Led Michigan State in minutes. Only had 2 points.
The next game, I think he dropped 19, I want to say. Like, mm-hmm. he went
against,
off.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember. But he had nearly 20 against Wisconsin the game before. Illinois held Michigan State to their lowest point total of the season without two of their best defenders, Kofi and Andre Curbelo.
Yeah, and
that's just a gritty win.
Yeah, it was a gritty win. I thought rotations were good.
I loved Luke Giddy minutes.
Yeah,
love him.
The freshmen have really stepped up in these moments.
Yeah, we'll get into that with the Northwestern game too, which was huge for freshmen.
Yeah, Luke Goody getting some time is great. I imagine we'll see a lot of him. What did Brad Underwood say about him, that he might be?
Yeah, he said, I would be shocked if by the time he leaves he's not a 1,500 point scorer here.
Yeah,
and he got a nice solid career high 9 in that game against Michigan State. Illinois wins it 56-55. Then later in the week, they travel to Evanston to take on a Northwestern team. It was an ugly start. Illinois had Kofi Coburn back, was still without Andre Curbelo. They went up 24-19 at the half, and then Northwestern kind of put the hurt on them in the second half. It was a much higher scoring half, but at the end of it, Illinois ended up coming out on top. Kofi Coburn, one rebound away from a double-double, ended up with 22-9. He was the only player in double figures for Illinois, but what a contribution from R.J. Melendez and Brandon Pajimski. He had 5 points, Pajimski did, and R.J. Melendez had 6 to go along with 3 rebounds. They were showing a lot of athleticism in that game, a lot of fouls early on, and then it really came down to DeMonte's putback slam in the fourth that none of us were expecting. He only finished with 5 points. That was his first field goal of the game, but he had 9 rebounds. He was all over the place defensively. So was Trent Frazier, held Boo Booey to 9. Pete Nance got going a little bit for Northwestern, made a couple of threes, but another win that Illinois comes away with, 2-0 on the week, and now they're ranked 18.
Yeah, and this was a nice win too. It came down to the end, better team won. Pete Nance blew up the Illini, and I mentioned this on our last podcast when we were talking about Northwestern briefly, how I thought Joey Hauser was going to blow us up. Did not happen in that MSU game, just because the Pete Nance and Joey Hauser, those typical prototypical big forwards, right? Yeah. And we haven't been able to guard those very well. And Pete Nance did a great job. Like he came in this game. Who was on him for the most? Was it DeMonte?
A lot of DeMonte.
Yeah.
And then some Kofi. I mean, Pete Nance is a tough guard because he's a forward that can play like a center, but can also play like a guard.
Stretch four and he's big, which is tough.
I think Jacob had him a little bit too.
Yeah.
And then some switches led to him being like with Plummer on him or Goody on him, and that's when he kind of made his money.
Yeah, we don't really have an answer for that type of player.
Not many people do, and there's not many like him either.
Right, and Pete Nance was, I mean, when we found out that he was going to Northwestern, coming off that year of tournament success, it looked like Northwestern was going to be not perennial tournament, but maybe going every other year, every 2 years. Hasn't quite worked out, but we knew he was going to be a good player, so it's good to see that he's playing well. It's fun when you have players like that. But he was trouble. That kind of player is trouble. I will say this, Bubui did not have a good game.
No, he didn't, and I think you attribute that right to Trent Frazier.
Yep, back to Trent.
And we'll go back to this because I don't think we got a chance to mention this on the podcast. The NCAA released their midseason Defensive Player of the Year watch list. Trent Frazier wasn't on it. Brad Underwood went off about it. He said... these voters must not know what defense is. They must not talk to college coaches. There isn't a Defensive Player of the Year award list that should be valid without Trent Frazier on it because he might not get the steals that some of these other guys do, but every time he guards, and he guards the opposing team's best player, every time he guards, that guy has an off night. You look at Bubui, 9 points. You go back to that Michigan State game, Max Christie, 2 points. Trent Frazier's impact on the defensive end is just, you can't give it enough credit. And, you know, we talked about him, led the team offensively in that Michigan State game, had another solid game offensively. Northwestern got to him a little bit, you know, with those air ball chants. He started 2 of 3 from the field and then missed like his next 7 shots. But when it mattered, he showed up on the defensive end, and that's why Illinois won.
Yeah, agreed. And when you don't, that's why you kind of need Andre Cabela too, because we talk about him as a facilitator, but as a scorer as well. When we are down and Trent is struggling and Plummer was somewhat struggling, and I feel like he's kind of struggled the last 2 games. Some of those shots against MSU are like, whoo, can't believe that went in. But that's how he plays, right? He plays a hot hand. When that happens, you like Andre Cabela back. I don't imagine he won't be back for Wisconsin.
I think he might, because you think COVID is 5 days?
Yeah, it's pretty clear it's COVID, right?
Right.
Did they officially say that?
They didn't officially say it, but it went from he had the flu to he's in health and safety protocols. And right. What Brad Underwood said is it's pretty much isolated to Curbelo because he wasn't with us over Christmas break when we had our outbreak. Right. So 2 plus 2 means that he does have COVID, and nobody else could get it because they had it so recently.
Right.
There were 10 players who had it. So you think, you know, he missed the last 2 games.
Which is interesting because our speculation earlier this season, too, it seems about correct that almost every single person on the team
had it.
Has had COVID.
Yeah.
Which is all speculation. Like, we don't want to.
This isn't a report. Yeah, this
isn't
a report.
Make sure that we're getting that right. But based off the speculation that we could do, putting 1 and 1 together to make 2, which is kind of nice for a tournament, right? Like, hopefully antibodies last till March.
Herd immunity in tournament time, which
and they're all boosted, which is good.
Could be a factor, but yeah. So yeah, that means
back to that.
If it's 5 days of no symptoms, he could definitely play. You'd think there'd be some type of ramp up period for like conditioning. And he's probably not even conditioned yet from coming back the first time.
Right.
But I'd imagine he's probably available in some capacity tomorrow, unless he's still feeling symptoms. And, of course, feel better, you know, we'll do our best without him.
Oh, yeah. And that's okay. It's not the end of the world that he's not playing in this game, but, you know, he's just one of the guys that, like I said, when you have the scoring issues and you need a guy who's a facilitator and a scorer, he's that guy.
Yeah.
So,
and
not good at him.
Now, for the fourth time this year, Illinois is going to be hosting a top 15 team in Champaign. This time, it's the tied for the Big Ten lead with Illinois. The Wisconsin Badgers coming into town. There's not much to say about this team without Johnny Davis. 21 points per game, almost 8 rebounds and over 2 assists. Also gets it done on the defensive end with 1.3 steals per game. Johnny Davis is the heart of this Wisconsin team. They still have Brad Davison, who I'm surprised is still allowed to be in college basketball, and I'm sure that's how they feel about Trent Frazier. He's still with them, averaging about 16 a game, but this team runs through Johnny Davis, and I like Illinois' chances because we've got guards that can defend a guy like Johnny Davis.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to hit you with a hot take. And I have a fan, the listeners, I have a feeling the listeners of this podcast will not like this take. If I were voting for National Player of the Year right now, I think very slightly I'd pick Johnny Davis over Kofi Coburn. And I'll tell you why.
I think you have to. Kofi's missed 4 games.
Kofi's missed a lot of games, and he hasn't declared himself yet in the Big Ten. If that makes sense.
He hasn't had
he really hasn't. I mean, 22 points against Northwestern. Like, he had a great game against Northwestern.
Yeah.
But he's got to have that National Player of the Year
game. The week, statement, yeah.
Month,
yeah,
right?
I mean, we saw Io last
Johnny
year
Davis
with the...
kind of having that right now.
We saw Io last year that put his name firmly in the conversation with 2 triple-doubles in 3 games.
Right.
And so, yeah, you could use... I would say the closest Kofi came, and I don't think... It was right before the shutdown... 23-18, but I think that might have been against Mizzou. So, yeah. Like, that's not in the Big Ten. But
what
I will say this. Johnny Davis gets the edge over Keegan Murray for sure.
Yeah, Murray had a terrible game last night. I don't know if I watched that.
And, I mean, you got to think of some of the other guys in, like, other conferences, too. But, like, it's pretty much a Big Ten race. E.J. Liddell, Kofi.
TJD.
Johnny Davis and
Keegan Murray,
and then somebody from Purdue, right? And then you think, yeah, Auburn probably has a guy that should be considered.
Maybe,
Kentucky probably has a guy that should be considered. Johnny Juzang over at UCLA, you shouldn't maybe get in the conversation. Drew Timmy has been quiet all year, but we know he's that caliber player. But
yeah.
The best years being had by anybody are Big Ten players, and I think Johnny Davis just so slightly has that edge over Kofi because of the more games.
This could be a big
swing of it.
Yeah.
You shut down Johnny and Kofi has 25 and 15.
Yeah.
That
then it becomes a more time change.
Yeah, it's like when we beat Iowa last year.
Yeah.
And Luka Garza, he was okay, I think 18 points, but Iowa had like 23 and that dunk over him, like that started that conversation moving.
That's what I was going to say. What's ridiculous is Kofi's numbers and are better. And even defensively, I think he's better, obviously, than Luka Garza was last year. And if I was way ahead of Johnny Davis this year.
That is interesting. Like, narrative of it.
Because
it was, pretty much decided before the year that Garza was going to
win it. And if you switch, the media, the way the media is handling it, they've, like, completely switched their mindset on it. Because if you were to vote... based off how they voted last year, it should be Kofi.
Yeah.
But if you vote how they should have voted last year and Iowa won it, it's Johnny Davis.
This year.
I will say Johnny Davis is not that efficient of a shooter.
Yeah.
He takes a lot of shots. Like, he's the guy,
which
is
more
fine.
Assists than him, too. More points and more assists.
And he was more efficient, which is important.
And then didn't win it.
Right. So, not to bring up old wounds, but...
Yeah,
it's a bummer how that switched, that like mindset switched on this, because Luka was dominant. There's no and Kofi's dominant, right? He's dominant in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had that classic moment, like I said. He hasn't been like, I'm here, but like the dude puts up numbers, and that was what Luka Garza got him in basically. For,
yeah.
Right. So it's Luka Garza didn't play defense that well anyway. So it's
Kofi plays defense at least.
Yeah. Not so,
yeah,
so great that, lately, but
yeah,
in general, he's a better defender than Luka Garza was.
So that definitely is interesting. We'll see if maybe this game can swing it. But, you know, we talked about Johnny Davis. Brad Davison, about 16 points a game. He can shoot the heck out of the ball. Aside from that, nothing jumps off the page. Tyler Wahl averaging almost 11 points. Everybody else not really pouring in on the score sheet that much. So it's pretty much stop Johnny Davis and you should beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Is there anything else Illinois should be worried about?
Yeah, I would say from a defensive standpoint, who you have on who.
Because they don't have anybody that can guard Kofi.
Yeah, yeah, Tyler Wahl. We'll see what Wahl can do.
Let's get his measurements really quick.
He's 6'8", I want to say. That's my guess.
So Kofi's got 4 inches on him?
Yeah. He's maybe 6'9".
And probably
he's
like 50 pounds?
Them losing... Oh, no, never mind. I was thinking Kopp. I always think Kopp went to...
6'9", 220. Kofi's got 3 inches and like 70 pounds.
We'll see. We'll see. But Wall's a dynamic defender, though. That's the thing. Like, he could get around Kofi and cause him some trouble. I'm curious to see how that goes.
Yeah,
that'll
be a matchup to watch.
Yeah, more or less no comment on that. I was going to say this, and if you're listening to the podcast for a long time, and Anthony knows this, Brad Davidson, met him once, long story, met him in Las Vegas at a concert. He's a great guy, nice guy, can't stand the way he plays, but he's completely reinvented himself as a good shooter. He's mm-hmm. been very good shooting this
40%
year.
From three, almost.
They've needed that. Like, they needed that glue guy. You call it a glue guy, right?
But, he's no Damonte Williams, but yeah.
But right. But he's like the next guy up. I guess that's the best way I can put it. They needed that guy who could shoot.
Somebody that could step up behind Davis. Because they lost a lot of guys last year.
And Davidson did that. So he's still an elite defender, in my opinion. I know he's a little bit of a flop guy, but still a great defender. Who do you put on Johnny Davidson? Who do you put on Brad Davidson? Honestly, you might consider
Damonte and Trent.
Right. But who do you put on who? You might consider Trent on Davidson and Damonte on Davis.
That's probably what I would do because Davis is a little bigger. And you could switch that a lot, too.
Yeah.
So that'll be another thing to watch.
To watch in this
game. The thing is, if you put Trent on Johnny Davis, he's going to get a ton of rebounds.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Monte there because Monte's great at boxing out, too.
Yeah.
He had nine rebounds the other day.
Other than that, I don't really have anything else to say.
They're not a special team.
Yeah, it's points by committee from there on out.
They're ranked 11 in the country, but they're not special.
They got Johnny Davis, so that's pretty special.
Like, yeah.
That's it. If you shut down Johnny Davis, you could win this game.
Yeah,
nobody's
we've
been
seen
able to
teams
shut down
that have one guy struggle in the tournament. Long story short, I don't think Wisconsin's going to be a team that the Big Ten is going to be rooting to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. But Johnny Davis can take over a game, so the moral of the story is stop him, and you'll win this game. So with that, Pat, let's get into some score predictions for this game against Wisconsin coming in the middle of what might be the biggest snowstorm Champaign has ever seen.
Yeah. You think it's gonna, really quick on that note, you think it's going to be empty?
State Farm Center?
Yeah.
Brad Underwood said at his radio show yesterday, bring your shovels. So I think they'll get some crowds. Students will be able to go.
This is what one of my buddies was like. They should just F it and say, let's give students free tickets to this game. I'm like,
because they can get there.
Or half price tickets. Yeah, because they can get there. I was like,
they should do something to get.
They're not going to do
to
that.
To pack it.
Come on.
You need this game packed, though.
We paid like, people pay like $300 for student tickets now. Like, I paid $150. Like, it's.
That's fair.
Like, they're not going to do that. It's expensive to go to these games now. It's not like it was when our freshman year when Iowa was
putting up
14 points and we were losing by 10, 15 points.
But so like, if it's empty and a lot of these season ticket holders that are commuting from Chicago or commuting from downtown Champaign or somewhere farther, harder to get in the middle of a storm, you think they're just going to leave all of it empty?
I don't think it'll be completely empty, but I think it'll be spotty.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But still, big game. Yeah. Need it to stay atop the conference. So I'll take Illinois to win it. The last few games, both teams have stayed in the 50s. I think we get a little bit higher scoring than that. Illinois maybe 70 to 65 stays pretty close. But Illinois in control ends up winning the game.
Yeah, I like Illinois at home. I told you, I said, got to win the two of the next three games. Beginning with Michigan State. We won two of them, so dropping this one was not that bad. However,
Big stretch coming up. Indiana and Purdue follows.
Right.
So you'd like to get this win.
You kind of feel like you got to win two of the next three from here on out as well. And that's just how difficult the Big Ten is. I'm going to go with Illinois winning this one 68-64, low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be surprised if it is a 50-point game again. But we'll see. We'll see what the shooters can do in this game. They should be able to shoot better. So
yeah.
And I'm curious to see how we shut down Johnny Davis. That's the big storyline in this game. Johnny Davis versus Cliff Coburn.
Yeah, it'll certainly be something to watch. One other real quick piece of news. Illinois tight end Daniel Barker has transferred to Michigan State. A little bit of a surprise. Not a surprise that he was going to transfer, because I think he was kind of misused offensively. But a little surprising that he goes to somewhere in the Big Ten. Even further, the team that he caught the game-winning touchdown against to the bowl game is now the team he's playing for.
He's got some history in Spartan Stadium. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah,
Spartan
Stadium.
He's got some history there, so when I heard that, I was like, oh, it kind of makes sense, yeah. Right? He plays well in that stadium. In terms of his play, like, yeah, he's just not – he's the – I'm surprised he's not going to the draft, because I really think he'd get drafted in the 6th or 7th round. I've done, like, 8 mock drafts in the past 2 days, and he always gets drafted in the 7th round. Not by me either. So, surprised he's not going to the draft. Second, he's more of the NFL prototypical tight end now that can line up in the slot.
He could block.
He could block pretty well, but like Brett's going for a guy who could be in the trenches and then also catch one off the play action. And that's just not Barker's game, man. Mm-hmm. Like he could block, he could play in those, but like
he's a route runner.
He's a guy who he's a route runner, he's a great catcher, and you could use a guy like that, but he's just not in the trenches guy. So that's why I feel like it, and you know, he wasn't one of Brett's guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, well.
So that's what happens.
Best of luck to Barker. We'll see him next year when Michigan State comes to Champaign. But for now, thank you guys for listening. Stay safe, stay warm. Big storm coming. So yeah, make sure, if you can get to that game, go. If not, stay safe. But we'll be here later in the week to recap that game and preview Illinois traveling to Indiana, where both Pat and I will be this weekend. But for now, thank you guys for listening. For Pat, I'm Anthony. ILL.
I.